Good morning.
How is everybody? It's a beautiful day. I guess we're still in the Ozarks here. But any day that you can start your day and talk to Jesus, it's the best day. Because He is our life. He is our breath. He is our guide. And I'm so thankful that you're here. I've enjoyed the songs, the poem, the specials and everything. Your kindness towards me. May God bless you. As you can tell, I'm not Paul Cofer. My hair's a little whiter than his. That's the only difference. No, Brother Cofer, we love with all our heart. He is, I have one brother in this life. I have no sisters as far as the flesh is concerned. But sisters, we're going to spend eternity together when we get over yonder. We're going to have a time, let me tell you. You know, there's a lot of problems. I'm just going to stop for a minute before I get into this. You know, there's a lot of problems in this world. You know, just, we all got TVs. If we don't, you know, got a radio. We know that there's a lot of things going on in this world that can discourage us. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, even the worst day will not compare to that glory that shall be revealed in us when we get over yonder on the other side. Now, my grandmother used to use the word yonder. It could be right there or it could be over there. But when I get over on the other side, and I'm looking forward to that. Are you? Right. Because there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying over there. I have cried here, have you? I've had pain here, have you? I've had sorrow when I watched my parents pass away. Both of them, they've just been gone. One's been gone 2 years, one's been gone three. But I tell you what, when we get over yonder, there'll be no more of that. And I'm so thankful I've got a Jesus to share with you today because He's our friend. I've got a lot of people in this world that I count as friends, but I can't 100% trust them because they are as I am. They're human. They make mistakes. But I've got one sitting on a throne right now that's watching, knows our thoughts, knows our intents, and He's looking down upon us today, and He's here to bless us. Did you know that? You know, some people think that God's there with a big stick ready to watch us and see if we do something wrong. No, He's not. My Jesus is there because He loves me. The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. How do we know He loved us? Well, let's just go back to the cross. That's the biggest show of love is when He was on the cross. For those 3 hours that He hung there from the 6th to the 9th, He felt the pain of sin that I'll never feel. I just won't because He did it for me. And we'd like to talk about that a little bit today about why Jesus went to the cross. I'm going to read some verses here out of the book of Peter, just two verses. It's in 1 Peter in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and lost my hanky. These are familiar verses, probably, no doubt. And, you know, preachers do that a lot. They say, well, this is a familiar, well, they're all familiar verses. They're all 66 books of the Bible are those familiar verses because if we are what we should be reading His Word. So in 1 Peter 1 and 18 says, for as much as we know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by the tradition from our fathers. Now listen to this. This is good. It's real good. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's what He did when He went to the cross. There was no sin about Him. There was nothing about Him that was wrong. Let's look at this for a minute. Now, it talks about shedding blood, but I thought about this coming up here. Why did they accuse Jesus? What did He do wrong? Did he murder? No. He gave life, did he not? When he spoke peace to your heart, he gave you life and life eternal. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. One day this body that you're in is gonna die. We might as well just figure on it. That's, and you know, people get all, oh, I don't want to talk about death. It doesn't scare me. Oh, what's between here and there, between the pain and the sorrow, and whether it be cancer or a heart attack or a car wreck or whatever it might be, those things this flesh doesn't like. But on the other hand, I know what's on the other side. I know what's going to happen because he went to the cross for me, and I believe while he was on the cross, he thought of me individually. Now, I have some people that argue about that, say, oh, he did. He just looked at the human race as a whole. I don't believe that. I think when he was on the cross and when he was suffering the pain of sin for all mankind, he thought about Terry Nicodemus that was going to be out there 2,000 years later that would need a Savior, and in the back of the church house where I was at that night that I sought the Lord and got saved, my friend, he died because of that I might live. Why did they do that? Did he kill anybody? No, he gave life. Did Jesus lie? No. There was no guile in his mouth. Did that send him to the cross? Was he a murderer? Was he mean? Was he spiteful? Was he any of those things that are of my nature? No, he wasn't. He was perfect. He was as a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. He come into this world for one purpose, one purpose only, and that was to go to the cross and die for you and I. Now, what does he say here in verse 19? But with the precious blood of Christ, blood. Some of us don't like to talk about blood. It makes us squeamish. I'm not going to get into great detail, but just a few weeks ago, I had to have about 6 units of blood to stay alive. There was some going on. I'm not going to get into all that. But I found there when I was laying in the emergency room at Cox South in Springfield, Missouri, when all that blood was going out, and I realized it came to me, you see, your blood is not perfect. Your blood is full of sin. But still, you can't live without that blood that's in you. Your body won't function. So I put it like this. I can't live without this blood. But surely, friends, my good friends, and you say, well, how can you call me friend? You don't know me. My friend, if we've been saved by the grace of God, we're related. We are heirs unto God, joint heirs with Jesus. My friend, because of that blood that he spilt, it cleansed my soul. Now, you know that blood stains. It's I know some people think it's nasty, but it's what's keeping you alive. There's a pump in here that's pumping that through your system. And when Jesus was on the cross, he lost a lot of blood. And it wasn't just one drop of his blood that saved me. But he said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Why did he die? He died for you. He died for me. Those people going up and down the highway out here, he died for them. You ever thought about that? When you're in a church service and let's say the Lord just shows up and people come to the altar and people start getting saved. Or I was saved in the back of the church house. That was my altar. But when there's power in the church house and there's cars going up and down each highway out here, I just wonder how many of those, when they went by, they're going, there was something going on in there. There was something I felt when I drove by that place. There was a being in there that had power and strength and was coming down and was saving souls. There's something about this church here that I have to go back to. Do you know that you're a lighthouse in this community? Yes, you are. And your neighbors and your friends, you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Now, you see, in our country, we have ambassadors that go to other countries. And I've been fortunate, not that I'm rich or anything like that, but I've been fortunate. I've got to go to Europe and see my cousin. I've got to go to Africa and preach the Word of God, places like that. And it's really something to go there. But then when you see people, even of other nationalities and of skin color and all that kind of stuff, seek the Lord, you know. know that God is everywhere and he's right here in this church house. God can come and save your lost sinner. Or if there's anyone here today that's lost, I would that before we close this service, before we go out that door, that you find him as Savior and as Lord. He's my Lord. Is he yours? Yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. He shed his blood on Calvary. Now let's go back to the bloodshed. He was there. You know, they beat him to death. They just beat him up. Jesus, that is. They would take these whips, and a lot of times they would have bone and things in it, and they'd whip him. It would tear his skin, and blood would come out. They put a crown of thorns on him. Blood come out. He shed his blood, and even at the very end, blood and water came out. Do you remember the hour that you were saved? And because of that, him being on the cross, him dying on the cross, that's why you could get saved. Do you remember that hour? Think about that for a minute. When God saved your soul, do you remember the blessing? Now, some of you may have shouted all over this house when you got saved. Some of you may have been like me and just sat there and just enjoyed the peace and the quiet. Quiet? What are you talking about, Brother Nicodemus? As I sat in the back of the church house and sought the Lord, when he came and saved my soul and the peace came into here, I'll tell you what, my friend, I had never seen such a bright light. And I know city utilities there in Springville hadn't turned the power up, but the lights seemed like they were brighter. I looked at my mother and I turned to her and I said, I think I just got saved. She said, are you sure? What a question. What a question. But you know why she said that? See, you got to be sure. I am sure. And if you ever doubt your salvation, pray to God. He's the one who gave it to you, or Jesus. Pray to him. He'll take you right back to that spot. You say, well, I'm just too cold. I've done this. I've done that. Well, you saved, yes, but I've been a bad boy. I've been a bad girl. Let me tell you one thing. His love goes beyond understanding. With joy unspeakable and full of glory, he knows who you are. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you are now his child. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has went away to a place called heaven. I don't know. All I know, he went up. I don't know where it's at. I've always got my own opinions, but I'm not here to preach opinions. I'm here to preach the Word of God. And when he saved your soul, do you know what happened? Now listen to this. This is what is so magnificent about salvation. When God saved your soul, you got peace with God. But let's go beyond that. The Bible says that there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Do you know that heaven knew about it? Do you know that the throne of God, of course, knew about it? All of heaven rejoiced because another child had come home. I think of the prodigal son and all that, and I'm not going to get into it, but you remember when the prodigal son came home, the father came to meet him. When you went to seek Jesus, he came to seek you. I just love it the way it talks about how that the father ran out, put a robe on him and a ring and all that kind of stuff. What a deal. Salvation, because he spilled his blood. It's because of his blood, my friend. It's because he spilled his blood. It's because he went to the cross. It's because for the 6th and 9th hour, he felt the pain of sin. And at the end of that, he didn't die. He didn't just die, but he gave his life. The Bible said, they don't take my life. I give it. You know, when I was sick here a few weeks ago, I felt like life was going out of me and I had no control over it. When Jesus died, he had control over it. You remember what he said? Father, it is finished. What was finished? What he went to the world for, to go to the cross and die and feel the pain of sin, who knew no sin. He took me. Yes, he took me even at that hour and created a way for me to be saved. I got saved when I was 10 years old. I'm not here to preach about me, but I preach about Jesus. I'll never forget when he saved me. I've forgotten a lot of things. It's amazing when this gray hair comes out. I can tell you what happened 30 years ago, but I can't tell you what I did yesterday. Why? Why is that? Am I getting older? Yes, I am. Am I sad about that? No, I'm not. because I'm just another step closer, as the old boy said, to my reward. I don't know about my reward, but I know one thing. I'm a step closer to see Jesus. Let's think about that for a minute, friends. When this is all over with, and this, you know, there's a lot of bad things in this world. The world, you know, we've got it pretty good, like every one of us. You can tell I've not missed a meal. I'm pretty tall, pretty big boy. But one day this old body's going to say, well, it's enough. It's going to die. And as I watched my mother and my father die here the last few years, my daughter and I sit in there after mom died, and my youngest daughter, and she said, Daddy, do you think Grandma shouted all the way to glory? I said, if she could, she did. You see, my mama was a praying mama. I pray. I would be out playing and come crashing through the front door going, Mom, I want something to drink. I want some tea. I want some pop or soda or whatever you call it here. Coke. I look across there, and there she'd be kneeled down by that bed. She always had this really white bedspread. And she was kind of OCD there. She had it all just right. But there she was, with her head looking up, with her eyes closed, praying to Jesus. And I hear her call my name and my brother's name. You don't think prayer doesn't work? I know you know it does. There's just, if you didn't think it worked, you wouldn't be here today. Prayer works. My wife, she's still home. She was supposed to die 12 years ago. Doctor come to me, says she's not going to make it. She's going to die. You better start making arrangements. And your good pastor's wife said, no, we need to pray. We were in the waiting room there at Cox South. And she gets down, and all the rest of us do. People started gathering outside the waiting room because I heard this commotion. And they start to bow down out there. And they start calling the great name of the Lord. Pretty soon, here comes the surgeon bebopping around. Well, we got that fixed. He says, you all just keep praying. I don't know where the doctor stands with the Lord. He knows where we stand. Let me tell you, he knows where I stand. And he knows where my wife stands with the Lord. But prayer works. Now, let's get back to our subject. I kind of got off it a little bit, but that's okay. His precious blood he gave willingly. Can you imagine that? Let's say they come out through this door here in a little while and say, we're going to take you to a cross. We don't like your religion. And we're going to hang you there, and you're going to hang for everybody. You ready to go? I'd say no. I wouldn't, because of my flesh. But Jesus went willingly. He carried his own cross. Did you know that? He carried that up to Golgotha's Hill, place of the skull. They put nails, big old spikes through his hands and his feet. Every time that hammer went, that was me. That was me putting that through him because of my sin. And they hoisted that thing up, and there he hung, trying to breathe. Crown of thorns on him. Big sign mocking him above him. They tried to give him stuff, and he wouldn't take it. Why? Because he knew what he was there for. There was two people up there with him. They call them malefactors. They were nothing but just thieves is all they were. But they were not any better than I am, or not any worse than I am, because I'm of earthly, the flesh. The only thing that's good about me is what Jesus put in there a long time ago. And there they hung. Can you see that in your brain? Can you see that in your mind? I wasn't there. I wasn't even born yet. But Jesus knew who I was. There he hangs. One of the thieves, one of the malefactors, turns to him and goes, if that be the king, get yourself and us down. In other words, he was more worried about himself getting down there. That's just the way it looks. But the other one said, no. He said, we deserve to be here. We've done things wrong. We have been thieves. But what I like Even at the end of Jesus' life on earth before he was resurrected, he was still saving souls. Because he says, Master, so the thief knew that there was something about this guy, this man, this God man. He said, Father, when thou enterest into thy kingdom, remember me. What did Jesus say? He said, today thou shalt be in paradise with me. Friends, when this old body quits, and it's going to do it one of these days, come pretty close here a couple weeks ago, made me so happy that I was saved. In fact, at one part, when I was laying there, I tried to open my eyes up and see if I could see Jesus. Because I knew where I'd go. I knew where I was headed. I knew that if this is going to be it, I'd never see my kids again or my grandkids. I'd never see my wife or my brother or his wife and all my relatives that's in Kansas City and those that are in Germany and different places. I'd never see them again, but I would see Jesus. Oh, what a feeling that is. To know that if I only had hope in this life, I'm as Paul, I'd be of all men most miserable, but I don't. My hope isn't here. My hope is in Jesus. And if when I look one day, yeah, I will. One day I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, not mine, and I shall be there. I'm just waiting. My hope is in him, and I shall look upon his face, and I shall be there. Oh, my friend, I wouldn't be too afraid to go kiss his feet if that new body has feet. I have no idea. I just know we're going to be likened unto him, and there I'll be. And if you're saved, there you'll be. We won't be no more fighting about this or that. We'll be no more disagreeing in the Word of God. Men, you know, you and I could sit down. I would say probably somewhere within this good book, we'd find something we wouldn't totally agree on. But you know what? When we get over there, we're going to agree 100%. You know what's going to happen? We're going to praise Jesus forever and ever. And ever, and then after that, it'll be forever, and some more forever. Do you want to know what it forever is? No, you don't. We can't understand forever. I tell you this much. Jesus, I heard this guy on the internet. He said, God is not compassed about or not has anything rule over him of time, space, or matter. He doesn't live within time, within space, or matter. He doesn't live like we do. He lives, I'm not going to say another dimension, but where he's at, he can see the end from the beginning and vice versa. He can see the day of judgment. He can see what's going to happen out there yonder. I'm sorry, I keep using that. I was raising the Ozarks. Just out there, he can see. He knows. And I have had people, and you probably have too, if you say, well, God knows what you're going to pray about before you pray, then why should I? Because he told you to. My daddy, my loved, he wasn't a very big man. I was always bigger than him most of the time. He had to ask permission before he whooped me because he was smaller, you know. Not really, but it didn't take very long until he quit whipping me because I was just so big and he's so little. But he took me to church all my life. He loved me so. But you know, he did things wrong. But my Heavenly Father don't do anything wrong. And you see, I'm looking forward to seeing them again. I'm about done. I'm looking forward to seeing them again, and I will see them again. You know why I know that? Because Mom and Dad, my spirit bear witness with their spirits when I got saved. I just got to tell you about that before I shut up. That night that I got saved, we went to a church in Springfield, Missouri called True Hope Missionary Baptist Church. I was raised, her dad's a charter member there. Dad was, there's no more of the charter members still alive. They've all passed away. But that night, I had been lost for a year. Yeah, I got lost when I was 9. Because I got saved when I was 10. Oh, I'm so proud. I'd say, well, I was 10 and a half. You know, back then that matters, but now I'm 68 and a half. I don't care to even talk about that. But anyway, I knew I was lost. I didn't come up here like a lot of people do. And there ain't a thing wrong with coming up here and seeking the Lord. If you feel like doing it, you just help yourself. But I was in the back of the house, back over yonder, and our seats sat next to the wall. We didn't have windows down here. We had windows up here. We had paneling just like this, just like what you have here. There I was. The Lord got hold of me that night. And he's a preacher now. He lives over in Kentucky, but he was standing up front, and he just turned and looked back that way. See, I thought I had it hid from everybody, you know. You know how boys are, they just think they know everything. And I just thought I had it hid, and boy. And Steve just turned around and looked back that way. I don't even looked at me, but it come to me as soon as he looked back there. You don't have this hid. You're lost and you're bound for hell. Yes, a place called hell. A burning, gnashing of teeth, crying, bottomless. I can't imagine that. Bottomless pit. So I knew the word was out. Terry's lost. So I sit down back there. Three men come by that night. One preacher, one deacon, and another preacher. First is a guy named Frank Gordon. He come back there and sat down behind me. We were all back there. We got there late that night. He sat down behind me. He put his hand right here on this arm. I was a little bitty guy then. He said, "Son, are you lost?" Yeah, I was crying. My dad used to call it bellowing, but I was, you know. He said, "Trust in the Lord," and he left. I started to bargain with God. "God, you can have my new bicycle." For those of you that's got gray like I do, you know what a Western Flyer bicycle was back then. The young people don't have a clue. I'll give you my new Western Flyer bicycle if you'll save me. Why would he need a Western Flyer bicycle? But in my little childish mind, I was going to give that to him in trade. He didn't want that in trade. Okay, remember what the first man said, trust in the Lord. Then here comes Gene Grant. He is my dad's own cousin. He was deacon there. Of course, he's passed on. He come around, down behind me, put his hand on this shoulder. Said, "Son, are you lost?" And I he said, "Trust in the Lord." Got up and left. Then I went back dealing with God, trying to give him something. Did you hear the two messages? That's all the men said. Are you lost? Trust in the Lord. This is something we need to always tell the lost sinner. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in me. Don't trust in the pastor. Don't trust in the deacons. We're all good people. We try to live a good life. But we don't have salvation in our hands. I don't have it. I was not given that that opportunity to be able to hand that out. So I go back, trying to bargain. Then here comes a gentleman by the name of Keith Freeze. He was a preacher, pastor, good friend of the family. Dad used to take him around to revivals and stuff a lot in Cedar County. He come back there, and Keith was short, but he had real long arms, big hands. Here he comes. Sets down behind me, puts his hand on my shoulder, says, "Terry, are you lost?" "Yeah, I'm lost." "Trust in the Lord." Then he leaves. Okay, God sent three men back here to tell me what I needed to do, and I wasn't listening because I had my way of doing it, and there was this fellow there named Satan that was screaming in my ear, Yes. I heard him above everything else because he was screaming. He didn't want me to get saved because he would have lost another soul. So I got thinking, maybe I should listen to what those guys were saying. And that kind of place where I knew that I couldn't save myself. No matter what I gave him, I could give him everything that my parents had given me. He didn't want that. He wanted something else. He wanted me. He wanted me. So when I finally came to the realization that I couldn't save myself, I couldn't bargain with. See, I should have known better because Mama was our Sunday school teacher. Dad, charter member of church. I've been taught it all my life, but still yet, I had to do it my way. And doing it my way got me no way. So, there's a space of time I just can't tell you about. But I don't want to come to myself. We had them lights in the church that was, they're big bulb things, you know, you screw in the three sides and you put light bulb in them. That's all we had. It was an old store building is what it was. It had lit up in there. A guy named Junior Ingram, he was the one helping in the revival. His daughter, Denise, she had made her way down, because we're back on that back row, the second back row. She was right there, Mom was right there, Dad was there, Aunt Bessie and Uncle Bob, and I don't know if anybody else is on that seat. Those lights lit up. I look at Denise, and of course, I was 10 years old, and back there, 10-year-old boys thought girls had cooties. He didn't like them. I thought she was the prettiest thing I had ever saw. I looked at Mom, and she was so pretty. I looked at Dad, and Aunt Bessie and all of them, just everything looked so great. I wonder what they had done. They had done nothing, my friend. In heaven glory, Jesus had turned to God the Father and had been my mediator. He said, send salvation to that boy because he's come your way. He's repented of his sins. He's come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Save his soul. And from that point on, in here dwells Jesus. Dwells Jesus. Yeah. The one that said, I go to prepare a place. You remember over in the 14th chapter, John says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I'll go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there you may be so also. That's where he's went. When they saw him ascend up in the cloud accepting, that's where he went. He'd been gone 2,000 years. It's taken God 2,000 years to prepare a place. Can you imagine? No, you cannot imagine how wonderful that's going to be. Now, why do I do Jesus wrong? I mean, really. Look what he's done. He saved your soul from sin. You're not going to hell. You got a home in glory. You're going to spend eternity rejoicing and in bliss and singing hallelujah to the King and on and on and on. And then what am I doing wrong? It's because of this flesh. Not long ago, I was talking to my wife, and I said, you know, one of the best things, there's many bestest things about going to heaven, but I said, one of the bestest things was that I'll sin no more. I'll die to sin no more. I won't disappoint Jesus anymore. I won't disappoint God anymore. I won't disappoint myself anymore. We'll walk the streets to go. Now listen to this. I'm going to close. I had an aunt. She ended up in a nursing home up at Kearney, Missouri. It's up by St. Louis, or Kansas City. Last time I saw her, and she was all frail. My grandma's on my dad's side. They were all, their last name was Hayden. All little bitty tiny people. I don't know what happened here. But little bitty tiny people. And that, her name was Lola Perdue. And Aunt Lola was sitting there in that bed there in that nursing home. Last time I saw her, I said, we'll see you later, Aunt Lola. She said, well, if I don't ever see you again, tears roll up your face. So if I don't see you again, Let's meet over there.
Yes.
And let's rejoice to the King together. Wouldn't that be great? We're all around his throne, all millions of us. Oh, Brother Nicodemus, now you know there's not that many. Yes, there is. Even the children of Israel, they were over, what, so many, I don't remember right now. You think all the people that's died before, died now, my mom and daddy's going to be there. My grandma and grandpa's, they'll all be there. My brother will be there. But I'm not going to go to see them. And I don't want you to think, well, I'm going to go to heaven to see Terry. No, you're going to go to heaven to see Jesus. And there he'll be in all his glory. We won't have the sun, the moon, the stars, because he'll be the light thereof. Kind of makes you want to just walk on out of here, doesn't it? Just go on up there. Why? Because he spilled his blood on Calvary's tree. And he thought of you and you and me and those people, even those that are still lost. He thought of them because he died for them. You may not agree even with those that are not in our country, but you know he died for them too. Which I just don't want to think about that because they're doing things, just messing things up. No, he died for them too. And you know, if we pray into God, there's a good possibility that he'll convict our souls and they will get saved. Oh, people will tell me, no, that, you know, they're just too bad. Nowhere does the Bible say that. He said there's only one unforgivable sin. And you know what that is. That's blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I'm done. I would that you'd pray for us, pray for my wife, my children, my oldest daughter and her husband are between here and Georgia someplace. She went home. They live up in northeast Georgia, up by the Appalachians, foothills of the Appalachians. It's real pretty up there. Pray for them. Pray for me as we return back to our home. Pray for your good pastor. You got a good one. Yeah, you... Right now, in my little finite mind, I can't think of one that's better. Yeah, Paul's got his mistakes, I think. At least that's what Shirley says. But I don't believe it because he's just a good guy. We have always got along. I'm done. We have always got along, and we've been together now preaching and doing things, going to churches, going to revivals and stuff for probably 30, 40 years. So God bless you. Pray for me.